Hello, and welcome to episode 207 of the Book Horse Pod.
Every number over 200, I remain confused.
Yeah, every time the number goes up, I get a little more confused. But that's okay, because we are reading a book that makes us all confused. The Eye of Darkness by George Mann, chapters 30 through 49. We are also drinking to get us through it. If you have listened to this pod at all, I know Kate's opinions on it. So, Kate, we will start with you.
Oh, good. Jeez, I've got more complaints and quibbles for this section. Oh boy, I am drinking whatever Chris bought yesterday. This is Breckenridge Brewery's Palisade Peach Wheat Beer, which I feel like I've had on the pod before. It's a wheat beer that tastes like fucking peaches, but it is Palisade peach season, I think. Finally,
we're what is a Palisade peach?
I'm sorry,
what is a Palisade peach?
So Palisade peaches are a Colorado thing. They grow peaches on the western slope of the Rockies, so that's on the other side of the mountains. And yeah, they're just delicious. No one told me when we moved here that we did peaches, because we are not Georgia, obviously. But yeah, this is just one of those, I don't know, Colorado things. They the same way that they will sell chilies, like roast chilies for you on the stand, like on like street corner stands in the fall, like the various like growers will like drive up here and like do like pop-ups. They will do the same thing with peaches during the summer. So I think it runs like middle of June through like, I don't know, middle of September or something like that. But anyway.
Which is a good reminder that we should get some peaches.
Yeah, we should.
Before they're gone.
Because Chris didn't think he liked peaches, because conventional peaches from the grocery store don't fucking taste like anything. And so, this is Palisade Peaches is how we got Chris to like peaches.
Our peaches are better than South Carolina and Georgia. Fight me.
Damn.
That really is a fight. Holy shit. Yes.
That seems spicy.
Georgia, the inferior peach state.
They are real good peaches, though.
I'm not part of this.
The mid-peach state.
So, Chris, what are you drinking? I probably shouldn't hand the mic directly to you, but that's okay.
I'm also drinking Palisade Peach Wheat from Breckenridge Brewery. It's delicious.
Because of the peaches?
Because of the peaches.
Okay. Cool. Devin, do you have a drink? Do you have a peach beverage?
Ferb, I'm so sorry to do this to you.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No way.
So I've been trying a bunch of different like non-alcoholic wines at our Safeway, and they have one that's like a sparkling peach white tea wine.
The fuck?
So I am drinking that.
Yes.
This might be
it's for me.
Cool.
You deserve it.
Neat.
Burb, what kind of non-peach beverage are you drinking?
I'm drinking a regular flavored Pilsner.
Regular flavor?
Do you feel the odd one out?
Yeah, I don't love it. I'm drinking a beer-flavored beer. It is very delicious.
Do you feel like we're all hanging out without you, even though you are in fact hanging out with us?
Yeah.
Damn.
A little bit. It's like a group chat that I'm not part of.
Because we were just talking about how you were part of the group chat that you thought you weren't part of.
I knew I'm part of it, but when you were talking about it, I was like, oh, that's rude that they have one about this without me.
And just flaunting it in your face.
Listen. It doesn't
this group chat
sense.
Is where all four of us talk about House of the Dragon, and this one's where we share our takes that are too spicy for Burb. It's where we share all our homophobic takes.
Yeah, but I'm not in there.
All our non-pride approved takes.
Listen, it is now July 1st, so.
It's true.
No more gay people.
It is almost Devin's birthday.
Yay.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been having fun all week.
Hell yeah.
All right.
Cool. Are we done with our drinks?
What?
Yeah. Are we done with our drink stories?
I think so. Unless you want to hear more about Palisade Peaches. I don't think I have any more Palisade
Peaches. I don't want to fucking hear more about peaches right now.
I can talk about Palisade Peaches.
Anyway, for our cause for this book, if you have money and are to spare, is Vote Writers. That's votewriters.org. Vote like when you vote, writers like you're riding a motorcycle. Their mission is to eliminate ID barriers to the ballot box so every eligible voter can cast a ballot that counts. They inform communities about ID laws, equip partner organizations to expand voting access, advocate for pro-voter policies, and provide free one-on-one help to individuals to secure an accepted form of ID to vote. Everything's on fire. They're trying to take voting rights away. Not Vote Writers, the other people. So you can give them your money or you can volunteer. There are a lot of opportunities, including virtual ones, if you don't want to talk to people.
But yeah, Chris and I actually, well, I didn't talk to people, Chris talked to people. But yeah, we actually left the house to make it go. Make people turn their fucking ballots in. So please clap.
Right. Shocking.
I've never been canvassing with Chris, and it was real funny because for those of you who don't know, this used to be Chris's job basically. And so just watching him just slide into autopilot like this is the script was like very fascinating. Yeah, so. Yeah, hey, Black Heroes won, so
this is true.
We did a thing.
We did a thing.
I will give myself a cookie because
many of the races last night turned out good.
Yeah,
some did not.
Orca and I were there for moral support. I did not want to talk to anybody.
The cat who followed us down the block was also there for moral support.
That was a very good baby. Yes,
kitty.
We found an orange cat. Who just followed us around, helped canvassing for a while. It was real funny because she kept just like hopping up on people's like porches and being like, "Hello, have you filled out your ballot yet?" It was adorable.
Yeah, so. Get Tony out. He'll start yelling at you.
Oh, I bet.
Try to bite you if you haven't done it
incessantly. Speaking of biting people? Question mark.
Great segue.
There's
no biting in this.
They're not biting. There actually is no biting in this. The name
I was going to say, no, they are in fact not biting.
I would remember if there was biting.
Did you just say you would remember? All right.
Yeah.
Just, I don't know. Kira Staros is a horrible idea. Is coming back to bite her in the ass. We're reaching. I don't care. I'm tired.
The conversation.
I'll allow, but you're on thin ice.
Was about, like, does she think she's really good at this? Like, or is, like, does she have, like, an inflated ego? And it just turns out that she's stupid.
Yeah, she is just that bad at it.
She thinks she's playing 3D chess, but she's playing, like, tic tac toe.
Not even checkers.
Not even fucking checkers.
Oh, God damn, it's true though. She's real fascinating to watch her try to fit this, like wedge's group of like marauding pirates who care about nothing but death and destruction into her neat little box of here are the rules of how we do politics and no.
No, thank you. They don't want to do that.
Yeah, it's so weird how a whole ass like death cult just doesn't want to follow the rules. I've never seen that in real life.
Well, I love that Markion's just like, yeah, do whatever.
He's like, at this point, he's like, you're just abusing me. Like,
yeah,
Markion Rowe doesn't eat popcorn, but
If he did, he would have it. Mm-hmm. I think it's just like a morbid curiosity about what she's going to do and how she thinks this is a good idea. And none of them are good ideas.
I don't even think that it's a morbid curiosity. I think he knows exactly how it's going to play out. And well, he's that much better at it than she is. And so he's like, it amuses me to watch you fail.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, he knows exactly how it's going to go. And so does everybody else also. Mm-hmm. Like, she goes to Coruscant and Lina So's like, I don't know about all this. And everybody's just kind of watching, and Gyarostaros is like, I'm going to do this because it makes sense. And everybody's like, this makes no sense.
I was really waiting for Lina So to take all the Nile plunder and just, like, I don't know, throw it off the fucking building. I was like, all this is stolen. But you were like, oh, yes, thank you for the gifts. I will keep them to fill the empty hole in my heart where my son used to be. I don't know. So I was like, that's kind of weird for you to do, but you know exactly where the stuff came from. But okay, that's cool.
It was such a weird plan from Gira, too. Like, this is why last week I was like, I feel like we're supposed to realize how bad at this she is. Because she's just, like, strutting in with her fucking, like, spoils of war. Being like, I will give these back to you. these hostages items. I will give these back to you, and then we will have peace. It's like, and she actually thought that was going to work, which is like why I think Lina So was so fucking confused about it. Because she's like, there has to be an angle. She's like, she's not this dumb. Apparently she is this dumb.
She is just this dumb.
It's very funny because, like, within the Star Wars universe, Gyarostaros very much was born on third base and very clearly thinks that all she does is hit triples.
Okay, so many Nepo babies are shitty at what they do.
That is Gyarostaros. We didn't know that until
she's
this book.
She's the worst Nepo baby in the galaxy.
She is not good.
I think my favorite part of that whole negotiation bit and conversation that she has, like, face to face with Lina So is that, like, Lina So is, like, so flabbergasted about how dumb this whole thing is that she's just like, sure, I'll think about it. And then she sits by herself for a minute. She's like, you're an idiot. No. Wait a goddamn minute.
Yeah, so. It's the negotiation tactic. You're like, yeah, I'll think about it. And then you, like, go off and, like, stand there for 10 minutes and pretend to talk.
To yourself. In
it's
your
like,
head.
Hey, Sorry, there's a soccer game on, and I think that says possible red card, but I don't speak Spanish.
Ah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, on who?
I can't tell.
Yo, if the U.S. had to play man down, that'd be so funny.
Oh, yeah, it would be on the U.S., because that is not how your ankle is supposed to go.
That's hilarious. Sorry, I mean, not for whoever's ankle it was, but...
No. Sorry, this has been a distraction by me. You're welcome.
Listen, I don't know. I think we should be allowed to talk about FIFA and honor Brian, always.
Yeah. I think we should be able to talk about FIFA when the discussion is incompetence and corruption.
Can I introduce you to the galaxy?
Oh shit, it was Balogun who got the red card?
Yeah.
Oh fuck. God. Yo, US might be fucked. That's hilarious.
There it is.
Somewhere.
He's already screaming today. He's okay.
I don't have like video up, but I have like the box score.
Incredible.
Yeah. I don't know if it's called a box score in soccer, but, like, you know what I mean.
I think it counts.
Do we want to say anything more about her pure incompetence? Aside from the fact that, like, obviously, Mark is just letting her do whatever and then being like, another fun excuse for blowing stuff up. Don't mind if I do.
I was like, sure.
Yeah.
I'll, like, take this little distraction. Mm-hmm. Go entertain yourself, and I'll make the real person plans.
I mean, I enjoyed, like, the moment where she was like, they both played me. And she was like just so shocked that they couldn't believe that she was just going to broker peace on her first try after like after they just fucking slaughtered a member of the Jedi Council on live TV.
This is some J.D. Vance ass fucking negotiation skills, okay? Like
truly.
We're having fun.
That's okay.
Mm-hmm. it's a word I chose to describe the situation for sure. Other things that are fun, trying to get through the storm wall and failing because that's not how this fake physics works, I guess. Which, sidebar, I have a question that other people with better reading comprehension, maybe, I don't know, will be able to answer. Okay, so they attack the storm wall. In retaliation for attacking the storm wall, obviously, Markian makes it bigger. So we have the storm wall, and I'm imagining it just kind of like passing over all these other planets in order to like envelop them within Nile space. Yes. So why remind me again why they can't just fly through it the other way if it works like that? Or is it just that you can't jump to hyperspace inside of it?
So they said that you can't, it's too like, deep, basically, it's too thick to go through it at sublight. Like it would just like take you like 500 years.
What?
I believe
is it
the issue.
An actual wall? I thought it was just like a series of like beacons.
I mean,
and,
it's
like,
a gravitational
points.
Field. Okay. It's a gravitational field.
Okay, that makes more sense. I thought it was like a fake.
Yeah, like, it's generating
a well-enforced boundary.
Yeah, it's generating a deep enough gravity well. That it's basic, like it's not really possible to go through it at sublight from a practical standpoint.
Oh, I thought the reason was that it would just take so long to get from one place to the other because that's how sublight travel works.
Well, yeah, no, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, it would take so long to the point where it's in not feasible.
Sure.
Again,
now, how does this work? When they're like, they added hundreds of new. That is
what beggars this question yeah. about.
Do
how
you mean millions of new probes? Trillions of new probes?
Yeah.
The physics of it don't really line up, but that is in and of itself quintessentially Star Wars.
I was going to say, I realize we're not talking about Star Trek, so therefore the science makes absolutely no fucking sense. And also, I just had a question.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I mean, presumably, like, one probe is generating, like, a system like the size of an entire planetary system's worth of gravitational field, which makes no sense, but
sure,
that's like a nuclear little thing.
that's a big little guy.
Yeah.
we have that, but we also have orbital bombardment. It's fine, whatever. Scales are fake in Star Wars. It's whatever.
It's fine.
Bombs can't fall in space.
Oh man, no. We're not talking about
not
that.
Even
we're
as
not
a
talking
joke.
About that. No, not even as a joke. We're not talking about that. I never want to have that conversation with anybody ever again. if you don't know what I'm talking about, good for you. all right. So okay. Where am I in this fucking outline? All right, so obviously, we are at the point where it's been a year and they've been throwing everything possible at the storm wall and still not being able to get through. And I'm trying to, like, so obviously we have, like, the Jedi and the Republic just, like, failing on just, like, a massive scale for a sizable amount of time. And I'm trying to figure out why this feels new and weird to me compared to other times that we've seen the Republic and the Jedi fail, which is many examples, and I can't put my finger on it. And I wondered if y'all had thoughts.
I think from my perspective, it's very weird to see, specifically in Star Wars, like this huge battle set piece set up with such promise, and then see it go wrong and not get rescued at the last second by you know, a Luke or an Anakin or a whoever. Like, it's very Star Wars for, like, something to go wrong, but then, like, they always find a way. It's very un-Star Wars for them to have a complete, like, a 100% complete defeat in a massive battle like this.
Yeah, there's usually, like, a Deus Ex Force kind of situation. I don't know. I like seeing them fail because they're fucking incompetent. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Same. No, I like it. I was just, like, kind of just like, what is it about this is poking at me? I also think part of it probably is that, like, you know, theoretically, you know, we're in the High Republic. This is these two organizations at the height of their power, and they're still just like, we tried, ship go boom, people died.
Well, some of them are like that. Once again, the Jedi Council is very happy to sit back and just let things happen.
Oh my freaking god.
I mean, the worst part is the Jedi Council, like, sanctioned this battle, though. Like, they sent people there.
Yeah, but after, like, a while.
Yo, yeah, absolutely. Like, only when there was, like, a remote chance of success.
Yeah.
And I mean, I feel like this kind of goes to, we had a conversation last week about, like, they're doing, like, they want to do nothing. And, like, the two sides of the argument were, like, they want to be cautious versus, like, Lena Soho wanted, like, an all-out assault on what, you might say. And then we were given the answer very helpfully. And then this is, and then it showed us, like, this is why you maybe shouldn't do that if you're, like, you know, certainty of death, small chance of success. Like,
that's kind of, like, damned if you do, damned if you don't, though, because they have to do something. Oh,
100%.
Like, yeah. Is what they try to do gonna fail and a lot of fucking people are gonna die and everyone's gonna be like, hey, why the fuck did we do this? Yes. But they would also say, why the fuck aren't we doing anything if they don't do anything?
Yeah.
They're not in a great place.
No, yeah, they're really stuck.
Don't tell me the answer, but I'm wondering what happened to that first ship that actually got through that has the hapless little droid in it that's like, I am a test dummy. Now I am in Nile space. La la la.
Yeah, give me from a certain point of view, but just a million stories of that droid.
I'm all.
Yo, we're almost 30 years away from Phantom Menace. FacPop Phantom Menace
Don't
could be announced at some
say
point.
Say that out loud.
Somewhere, Tom at Random House Worlds just. His eye just twitched.
Mm-hmm. His whole person just.
Just a shiver down his whole spine.
Coordinating, you want another one? Please no. All right. Yeah, we're just whipping through this because I have so many quibbles with this book, y'all. Oh my god, this book could have been a fucking email, guys. Like,
why
I
is
swear
there
to god.
So much happening when nothing is happening?
Yes. I'll save that for 5 minutes from now.
I know the answer to that, but that's okay.
All right. I just want to go through. There's a lot going on with just, like, the Jedi not being the greatest, like, collectively, as we have seen, but also just, like, individually. I really, you know, Elzar, my favorite person ever out here, just being like, oh geez, a bunch of people just died trying to get through the storm wall because the plan didn't work, so he's gonna cry about Avar some more.
Top tier Yurger, just like I was texting Chris when I was reading this.
Oh bless.
Well, first I was like, are Elzar and Lena gonna fuck, because that got kind of tense.
It really did.
I was like
yeah. That. That can be a side note for later, but it absolutely did.
No, it did, and also it's just like, listen, we all know that. Like, is Elzar top tier uriner? Yes. Does he also fuck anything that moves? Also, yes.
Also, yes. And I was like, there is tension here. Like, they're making the straight equivalent of gay eye contact.
It's true. Listen, I don't know. Wartime fucking and also fuckery are things.
And I said. I said he's a top tier yearner, which is honestly impressive coming from me. a lesbian. That's our whole thing. It's your name.
Usually I'm like a big fan of the yearning and you know, with this this character, man,
it's not good yearning. He's just like, this girl who doesn't love me back is still on the other side of the galaxy.
Such a sad sack.
And I just killed a bunch of people. I wonder if she loves me.
I think the thing of it is that he keeps doing that. It's just like, I cut somebody in half. I'm so sad about Eivor. I just blew up like half the fleet. I'm so sad about Eivor. Like, it's just like, bro.
Once again, everybody needs space therapy.
Yeah, about that.
Yeah, and he is like, as this goes on, it's really, I mean, it's very like kind of classic Jedi Council to just kind of like let him be in charge of all this when he is so clearly way too close to this situation.
Yeah.
Like, it's obvious to literally anybody that sees him. Like, a bunch of people have even, like, talked to him and been like, hey, you okay? And, like, he's very clearly not okay, and yet they're still letting him call the shots. And, like, Yoda obviously is, like, way too detached to be useful at this time, but, like, he's just simply not making good decisions. Even if we agree that, like, they had to do something, like,
yeah.
I don't know if other people got this general sense, but like, I got the sense that it was a trap the whole time, and like, that was kind of the point of the buoy, and like, not a single person considered that. That this enemy who has literally been trapping them nonstop for a year,
every single time,
might have in fact trapped them again.
Fucking god,
I don't have thoughts on that. And we'll get to this in a second, but it is very interesting to see, like, how Elzar is a full-ass grown man, and he's, like, so close to the situation, he can't see it, even if everyone else does, how that, like, compares to Bell, who is too close to the situation, but he does figure it out, and I'm like, that's a teenager.
Yeah.
Why is Elzar so fucking useless?
I just, listen, Elzar's like 40, and, you know, Yoda makes the same mistake with Anakin a bajillion years later because Yoda is stupid. But, you know, Anakin's 24 and doesn't have a fully formed frontal lobe, I guess. So, I don't know.
I mean, even this early, and, you know, maybe since the dawn of time, but, like, the Jedi are, even at their peak, are not good at, like, emotional support. Outside of, like, the master-Padawan relationship. Which, like, that does exist. I don't know that we know anything about Elzar's master, but, like...
The whole thing...
Stellan wasn't good at emotional support for Vern, God. But whatever. It's fine, he's dead.
Happy Pride.
Happy Pride. But yeah, like, the council still, like, really struggles with that, you know, for lack of a better term, human connection between Jedi and how to do that without, like, it becoming, like, a, like, feelings are bad situation, which is, like, again, like, I feel like it's because they have all retreated into themselves as a result of this conflict, because I feel like that was, like, much less of an issue in Light of the Jedi when we, like, saw them, like, at their peak, like, they were helping each other, they were, like, friends, there were those two that were, like, joking before the battle with the Nile and being like, hey, let's, like, go on adventures together, and then one of them died, like,
yeah,
they were much more willing to do that. And in phase two we see them, like, much more willing to, like, talk to each other and have friends and, like, be part of a team. And that's just not what they're willing to do right now.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, something that has been nice about the High Republic as a whole is that we have seen them talking about, like, hey, like, it's actually okay to have feelings. You just, like, have to know what to do with them. And not let them rule your life and decisions, which still, you know, yeah, somewhat questionable, but, like, there's definitely a transition that happens there.
Yeah. And notably, we talked about how Bell is like the anti-Elzar because he is like, you know, has this moment where he just wants revenge and is blinded by it and almost like gets them all stuck in the occlusion zone mm-hmm. when they're not prepared for it. And then he like apologizes and is like, I will do better and learns from his mistakes. And he also is the one who has Buryaga and is willing to have a friend and put his faith and trust in his friend and care about him in a way that is not unhealthy.
What a concept.
The power of friendship. Yoda could never.
Yoda is friends with that mummy. Excuse the fuck out of you.
The way you brought it back up, like, we have to use our resources. Like, we're in a good position with this evil mummy who says he'll help us even though he just blew up a city like 2 weeks ago. Okay, it's fine.
Sorry, I have one other very good text to Chris that I sent last week.
Yes.
Yoda really said, we'll be fine. We have my pet mummy and this autistic teenager. Those two are gonna solve the fucking Nile.
Oh my god. I need an AU comedic duo nonsense with Wreath and the mummy.
Yes.
What if I told you don't need an AU for that?
Wait, what?
Yes.
Oh my god. I've missed Wreath so much that I'm so come with this fucking book. I'm excited. I don't know
what the fuck is going on, but I'm happy for y'all.
Yoda's got a mummy friend and said this autistic teenager can help us solve the biggest issue in the galaxy.
This kid loves to read.
He loves to read, man.
And trains.
Yes, correct. Space trains.
And space trains. Just saying, high-speed rail could probably make it through the storm wall.
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. Anyways... speaking of yearning, honestly, not speaking of yearning, because Avar thinks about Elzar about, I don't know, once a quarter, where Elzar thinks about her like all the fucking time. But she's just running around Etzel like this isn't a terrible fucking idea to be like right in the middle of things. Like things that absolutely could have been a trap. What, ma'am, what are you doing?
She's like, oh, we heard one message saying come to Hetzal. We're all the important in charge of everything Nile are. Okay.
Yes.
I feel like that's very her, though.
Like, it is. I mean, she's always been, like, you know, the big hero. She's famously the hero of fucking Hetzal. She's like, I can do this again, even though I'm a fugitive and this evil, I don't want to say evil empire because, you know, Star Wars, but like, and obviously the lack of actual governance. But we're just running headfirst into that.
Yeah, she asks herself, I think for about 10 seconds, does she just miss, you know, kind of that ability to save people and feel good about it, basically? Like, you know, she's like, I don't think she didn't enjoy being the hero of Hetzal back when things weren't so fucking bleak. And then she's like, anyway, let's just Leroy Jenkins this bitch and
fuck.
I think she's just very dejected after those Rodians were like, thank you for this food for a week. And she's basically just looking for, like, it's like when you're like looking for any sort of sign and you'll accept like, oh, that street sign turned exactly when I thought that I wanted to go. That's a sign. Like, you know,
no, 100%. Like
you're just, you will accept anything because you're just looking for the force in everything.
Yes, and what a bad fucking idea, girl. Like, geez, fucking Louise. I really like whoever put in this note also about this reporter with her fucking poor ass OPSEC out here.
Can somebody please explain to me why the reporter was like, "Hello, Avar Chris, let us meet on Hetzel tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Central Time." Like, motherfucker, there's only, as far as you know, there's only one person who's listening to you. And if there's somebody else who's listening to you, then you know what? They'll either get it or they won't. You don't need to say Avar's name.
Also, like, we've seen a couple of times in this book, folks trying to use technology to do, like, encrypted messages. Because it's this, and, like, was it, oh, God, I almost said Porter Martone. That is a hockey player. What's that fuck-ass name?
Porter Engel.
Porter Engel, thank you. He, like, was putting together, like, an old droid or some shit to, like, use the ancient feeds or whatever. And I'm just like, I'm glad you, like, kind of encrypted these messages, but it doesn't seem well done if some stupid-ass Niall punk can, like, figure it out. He's like, oh, he had the radio, like, slightly off, so it's a little scratchy, and then found her saying, "Avar Chris, come play in the forest." But also, no code words, no, just... Like, the dough is ready, meet me at the baking fields, or, like...
Right, or, like, set it up where it's like, if I say tomorrow, I mean today, in case this is intercepted, like...
Yeah, like, they met...
Basic fucking shit.
They met in person and had that conversation. Put a code word into your regular feeds. Like...
Be vague. Do something.
Talk about back to, I don't fucking know.
This is a complete fucking sidebar, but I just remembered. So... there is a pin maker in, like, a fan pin maker in the Star Wars community, and so she made a bunch of High Republic stuff, which was great. But I don't know if it was a typo. It's been years since this typo went up, and I just checked the other day, and it is still there. She put instead of Avar's, it's Avar Chris. She writes Avar Crisp with a K.
Avar's must like, be crispy. Krispy Kreme.
And that's all I can think of now when I'm reading, and it's really a problem. I can't take any of it seriously.
Like... If this goes poorly, she's about to be Avar fucking Crisp.
Just quit the Jedi Order and become a donut purveyor.
I was talking about where you put that too. Yeah. She can go sell donuts to those Rodians with the wheat.
Oh, yeah. Nutrients. Donuts. They go hand in hand.
It's fine.
All right. Other sidebar I had was, so Elzar musters a fleet to try to get through the Stormwall, as we've been saying. I thought Indira Stokes was like in a coma and like half crispy, speaking of crispy, like half husk basically. Having encountered the bad dogs, and now she's just like flying, and I'm like, listen, I realize that some time has passed, but like there was no transition, there was no explanation. Bell's thought about her for half of a second, I think, in this entire book, so it's just very abrupt.
We did see her in the Shadow of Starlight. Shadows of Starlight comic.
I'm pretty sure she was still hooked up to like 10 fucking
She
keys.
She was like in a hover chair.
Oh, which so
she's
fine.
But... She's in a picture.
And that was
picture?
Also like 6 months. Yes.
Girl. She's in a picture. No. I'm not going to see that. I don't know what she looks okay. like.
Philothian? I don't know how to answer that question.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you anything about her, but that's more Jesus of a me problem.
Speaking of reading comprehension.
Herb, I can't describe her. I don't see color in comic books.
Oh, no.
As don't. Devin quits the pod.
I just unmuted to quit.
It's been a good run.
Not on my fucking birth week.
Yeah, Chris. How dare you? Okay. Fucking this book, y'all. I can't. I say again, like, I'm sure George Mann is a real nice person and all of that. This book, the fucking email, it makes me want to pull my eyeballs out. I was reading the section that for this particular episode. I really almost threw my book across the room because I can't remember who says it. It's probably Elzar because he's a nitwit. But he really did the whole, as you know, person, this, we're working on this thing. And I'm like, and why the fuck are you explaining it to them if they already fucking know? This is like rule number one. Holy fucking shit.
We love shitty exposition.
So yeah, I almost popped a fucking aneurysm.
Was that like Elzar and Tevin? Or Kevin?
Actual Kevin, yes. I think that... Yes.
The worst part of that was that Kevin had literally already explained it to Elzar like three chapters before.
Yes.
Like, he's truly like writing like the Netflix model of like they're on their phone, so you need to repeat the plot every scene.
It's exhausting. I just, I want to be treated like I know how to read, which, like, listen, do I know how to read? Questionable. But I would like to be treated like I know how to read. That would be nice.
Like... Is this an adult book?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh. Huh.
I don't think George Mann should write more adult books.
Yeah. Additionally, it's like he over-explains stuff that need not be over-explained, and then under-explains a whole bunch of other stuff. Like, for example, he keeps mentioning Master Mira and Amadeo, who we met in Tales of Light and Life briefly in one of the short stories in there. And, you know, obviously they're in there. They're mentioned in Eye of Darkness because they're going to pop up later in phase 3. Fine. Totally okay. But he keeps like mentioning them and also just like not showing them or really telling us a whole lot. It's just like I need, like, you know, Belle comes back to that base on Hintus 4 several times and mentions that Miro and Amadeo pass through there regularly because they're working on like parallel missions basically. And I just need a 30-second scene of them, I don't know, talking, coordinating, being exhausted together for me to give a flying fuck. Otherwise, it's just like, here, a weird Star Wars name. Like, here's some spaghetti I threw at the wall that you are not going to fucking remember, even though this is supposed to be an introduction.
It's literal spaghetti. We love our Italian king.
I was going to say, that's racist. You can't say spaghetti just because his name is Amadeo Azzazzo.
No spaghetti for Amadeo. Oh,
I can't believe you would be so offensive to Italians, Kate.
I have no words because I don't want to say anything about East Coast things right now. Did I just hear Flix like gallop into your office?
Yes.
Great. but yeah, I just like, listen, if this is the first, like, you know, like, this is the book that's supposed to be introducing us to phase 3, and it's fucking terrible. Okay? It's like, I just like, it's just terrible. It's supposed to be introducing us to like characters and things. It's not doing it. It's not doing its job. It's just, this could have been a novella. Whatever. I hate it.
I think there's too many characters in this book. I think that's why, like, I understand this is the first book in phase 3. We want to like get everybody back up to speed. Let's set the stage. But I think this is the reason it feels like nothing is happening, because we have to see things happen with like 10 different fucking people.
And also like 3 times a piece.
Yeah.
Minimum.
And so like, okay, here's a chapter of Porter Engel running away from people who want to kill him. Here's a chapter of people killing him, or him killing them, the people who want to kill him. I was like, great, I get the point. I understand what's happening. They're on your tail. They understand what's going on. I feel like there's other stories happening that have actual things happening.
And just think, you feel like this and we haven't even started any of the comics or other media or other books.
It's so much.
It is very much.
We can like, I agree with you. Split this into two books and like tighten some of it up.
No. One book. cut out half of it and we're good.
Just cut out the recaps.
That's just an email.
I just like, geez, like, it's so many words for no reason. Like, what? This predates AI. I just don't understand. Like, what happened here?
All right, Kate. Fuck, marry, kill. Elzar, George Mann, Yoda.
I feel like secret you can't option do a number real four, person and two fake people.
Secret option number four, throw myself off a roof. How about that? Anyway, this has been a fun pod.
This has been episode 207 of the Book Wars pod. I feel like
you have to marry Elzar, though, right?
I mean, I would say fuck Elzar, but
yeah, you know. That's probably the right. But who am I going to marry?
That man has 10 STDs. Fucking STDs. No, absolutely the fuck not. I know that man is too stupid to wrap it up. Like, absolutely not.
If you marry him, you don't have to fuck him.
Yeah, but then you got to talk to him.
I'm going to lavender marriage my way into marrying Elzar Mann in this scenario.
Are we done with this episode yet? Are we done?
Yes, we are.
I think we can all agree you kill Yoda.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Episode, thank you for listening to episode 207 of the Book Wars pod. Next episode, we're finally going to be finishing The Eye of Darkness. I say finally because we've had to skip several weeks here and there because of schedules, and not because this book feels like it's 1,000 pages long.
Maybe it's both. Maybe it's both.
You never know. Anyway, if you have the means, first and foremost, donate to Vote Riders. And then if you want to support us, you can donate to the Tashi Station Radio Patreon or give us coffee. And doing so helps keep Argos, Blue, Flix, Magenta, Merly, Orca, and Tony with a roof over their heads so that, you know, you don't have to hear Touched by an Angel every time you see them.
Jesus!
The funny part is it's absolutely not what the money goes toward, but that's fine.
It goes for production costs.
It goes toward us maybe needing to buy a new soundboard.
Literally.
Anyway, our theme song is
by that for many, many minutes earlier today.
Yep. Our theme song is Whiz Bang by Poddington Bear. Our logo and artwork are by JB Terror Design. Our audio and production are done by soon-to-be Dr. Producer Devin Keys. Thank you for listening from all of us, Kate, Miranda, Devin, and Rana. I'm Chris, and we'll talk to you next week. I think we can all agree you kill Yoda.